good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Veterans Day 2025. And of course, this is your community Christian station. And Jim Dozer Adams in with us this morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good. Well, okay, my phone's going to speak to you before I do. Good morning.
Well, I mean, you know.
Good morning for me and the blinking, blinking. Whatever sound the phone just made there. Anyway. That's better than the time I just started talking to us halfway through the program. I'd said something or asked a question, and it started answering the question I'd asked you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't understand that command or something like that.
No, it started giving me information about something connected with the river, but you know, there's smartphones and there's smarty pants phones.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a smart aleck phone, isn't it?
Anyway. Well, Jim, happy Veterans Day.
Yeah, it's Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day to all of us veterans.
Yes, yes.
We pray. By the way, for those of you that get the day off today, you're welcome.
we never stop around
here. Those
of
us that need to get to the bank today, too bad.
Too bad. Can't mail anything today. So
if you're in school, you have something that's part paper that's due, you've got another day to get it done in.
There
so
you
don't,
go.
Don't do like I did sometimes and just postpone it till tonight. Go ahead and get a little work done.
Go ahead and get it done.
Pretend you're in class for a while.
That's right. Well, Jim, how you doing? You doing okay this morning?
Yeah, I had a real good weekend. Went down to my wife's, had a bunch of the cousins got together.
Yeah.
She got two cousins from Alaska.
Yeah.
And they each retired.
Yeah.
And moved to East Tennessee.
Okay.
Vonore, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Nice little area. And so we had a cousin from Virginia Beach that came over, actually, eastern part of Virginia came over there.
Sure.
And then we had a couple that came down from Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And the two of us, so had a really nice get together and had fun. Listened to folks tell stories, such as that. Then they made a swing down into North Georgia. I've got a cousin down there I hadn't seen in quite a while, so went down and visited with them. Had a nice supper, and then headed back here. Woke up, spent the night just a little bit right around the Chattanooga area.
Yeah,
and then woke up and it was cold and snowing.
Yeah,
and I thought, oh mercy,
tell me about it.
And
was you kind of nervous about getting home or anything?
No,
like that?
No, it wasn't. It just, you know, kind of drive through and say, yep, it's snowing. It wasn't.
Okay.
It would have to improve to be a flurry, but one of the Indiana couples from the cousin get together had actually snow on the ground that stayed when she got, when they get to them got home.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So it showed up, and then it's going to be, what, 60s and 70s again?
That's what they're saying.
So we're just, there we go again.
We'll get cold, and then we'll get hot, and then we'll get cold again. So,
I do have a warm coat on today.
I noticed that. I noticed you come in kind of warm looking this morning. So it's good to stay warm. That's for sure.
But being Veterans Day, you've got somebody who knows a veteran, or they've got a hat or a shirt on or something like that. Just say thank you. We appreciate it. We do.
Yes.
Especially those of us from, you know, Cold War and the Vietnam era.
Absolutely.
And those are the Vietnam veterans and others that... you know, they figured, well, it wasn't that bad. I personally know a man who came back. He was, I think, a major at the time.
Yeah.
In uniform, on crutches, and a sweet little grandmother lady came up and spat on him. So, you know, it's come a long way since then.
Wow.
And this is a good thing. It's an especially appreciation because they got to be ready to go and do when they have to go and do.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. I'm going to run through this right. Every now and again. You run into funny things. There we go. Okay. My phone's done its trick again.
Uh-oh.
I had a cute thing I was going to read. It was a picture of Elvis. Well, okay, I had something I was going to share this morning. It's just for funny. But my phone, it heard me call it a smart aleck. That's what it did.
That's what it did.
It did that.
It said, you know what, I'll show you.
I'll tell you what, why don't we... have some music. I'll see if I can find
that.
Yeah,
see if you can find that.
And if not, we'll get into serious stuff.
There you go.
Concert information. The Awakening Tour featuring Skillet and Jeremy Camp. Saturday, November 22nd in Clarksville at F&M Bank Arena with special guest We Are Messengers. One night. One stage. The Awakening Tour. Skillet, Jeremy Camp, and We Are Messengers. Tickets and info available at awakeningfoundation.com. The Awakening Tour, an Awakening Foundation event.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on your Christian community station, Missionary Radio. And, of course, Jim Dozer Adams in with us this morning on this Veterans Day.
Yeah, I had a cute thing I was going to read, but while we were sitting there in my smart aleck phone.
I'd heard you.
You'd heard me, called it a name, so it just said, watch this. And away it went.
Wow, make
two it parts unknown, wonderful. You know, it's like they used to say with computers.
Now it showed back up. No, I'm just joking.
No, that's somebody.
I'm just
somebody want to ride to school, forgetting there's no school today.
Oh. Anyway,
so it's being a smarty elegant and just the phone version of the blue screen of death that used to have in a computer.
Oh yeah.
No, come back.
Come back. Yeah.
Okay, what do we got going on here? Put this. I'll put it in my pocket. Maybe it'll be quieter.
We're going to put it on silent.
It doesn't silence those.
It don't silence those?
And I might be important. This is something very important. I know you've put it on silent, so don't disturb everybody. But I'm going to make a noise anyway. Bleh.
You know, something does like that. Okay. Listening just to a little bit of news yesterday, and they had a comment of things having to deal with the economy and interest rates and all of that. And one of the ideas, golly. Oh, yeah. Wait, put it way down there.
Slide it over.
It's one of those things happen to get a family that starts exchanging texts back and forth.
Uh huh.
It does that.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, one of the things that came out with a proposal was for a 50-year mortgage plan.
50 years.
50-year mortgage. How many folks you know have lived in the same place for 50 years?
Not
same
too
house.
Many. Not too many.
You're looking at one, but just.
But not too many. Most
not
of
too
time.
Many. So unless you have some kind of way where, you know, when you buy the house, you pay for the equity and then you pick up the payments.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, you go someplace, well, like, here we got a whole lot of folks in the military. They get moved around a lot every two or three years. I talked to a pastor one time a few years back. He was commenting, said he used to be near a military installation. And it was really frustrating because his congregation kept changing, folks kept moving in and moving out because of being transferred.
Yeah.
Then he got into an area where it was just, you know, industries and businesses and such as this. And he found out big businesses move their people around more than the military does.
Yeah.
And I knew a guy worked for a banking outfit, and they moved him around about as much as when he was in the service.
My goodness.
But anyway, so if it's 50-year mortgage.
So what do you do if you don't live the 50 years? Does the bank get your house after you pass away?
I have no idea.
How does
that
work?
If they still owe it,
you
put it on the market and sell the mortgage to somebody else. I guess.
Yes.
New cottage industry and picking up mortgages, picking up payments, and how to do with that.
Okay.
You sell it for enough to pay off the 50-year mortgage, and the next guy gets a 55-year mortgage. I mean, I don't know. Anyway. Seems kind of strange. There it goes again. Stop that. I'm going to put it in the next room in a minute, and then I'll forget it and leave it.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the strange things that came up, I just passed, remember we had Hurricane Helene that did so much damage in western North Carolina, East Tennessee area?
Yes.
And we've seen some of that damage because George has some friends, and I mentioned some relatives that lived in that area. But one of the things that's been confirmed is that when they're bringing disaster aid in from the government, that houses that had Trump stickers and Trump signs were passed. They skipped them and went to the next one over. And somebody said, "Oh, that's just foolish. That's just political talk." And then they thought, "No, it actually happened." There were instructions given out to some of the workers that if the house has a Trump sign or on the car or on some of this, just go past that one and go on to the next one.
Really?
So now the Department of Justice is coming in and saying, that is illegal on so many counts, that violates so many federal laws.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah. Wow.
But that was just.
That's something.
Okay. My phone is annoying both of us. I'm going to turn it off. Hang on a minute. Let me go on for a long time. Okay. Click, click, click. Let's see if it'll at least turn off when I want it to.
That way you won't have to worry about the noise.
Yeah. Okay, but it didn't really happen. And that is just so frustrating. We've got to such a point of animosity.
Yeah.
And it's not just, stories about folks that they work together and they play together and they go to church together, and then in election time they go down different sidewalks because one's an R and one's a D.
Does
but that was
sense.
But most of the time they get along well.
Sure.
And then we get this attitude on both sides where if the other side is for it, I'm against it. I don't care what it is.
Yep. Yep.
And this foolishness with the shutdown that's been going on strictly because one side couldn't get $1.5 trillion added into a continuing resolution. There's supposed to be just something you do to say we're going to keep up doing what we're doing right now, the way we're doing it, while we sort out the appropriations bill.
Yep.
No, you're going to, you know, they go back and forth and back and forth. So one of my regular prayers, and this sounds real tacky, and it's just going to have to, is that the Lord in his grace and mercy would give us adults in Congress for it again.
Hey, that's good, I think. You know,
I mean, I don't mind working kindergarten at church for a while, but when it's, our national leaders are supposed to be mature individuals, and they're acting like kindergartners.
Yes.
It's just really very frustrating.
Sure. I can understand that.
Is that my diatribe for today? Well, not entirely, but it'll get us started. Another thing that's happened recently, there's a lot of talk about the new guy for the mayor of New York, Mamdani. Mm-hmm. And I have to think that through because it seems like the M and the N should be reversed. You know, saying his name wrong. So I'm trying to at least say the guy's name right. And because he's had a little surprise here and there when he found out some of the things he said he was going to do, the governor has authority over. But I've read a lot of editorials about that, and it is just a very strange thing. But one of the issues that comes up is the man is a Muslim.
Yes.
And when October 7th happened, then he came out condemning the Israelis for being, you know, I guess he was mad at them for being murdered.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But he is but very vocally supportive of the radical Islamist movement.
Yes.
And these are the ones who want to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Most Muslims, you know, don't really want to kill you.
Yeah.
They don't really hope, they don't really want anybody else to kill you necessarily.
Sure.
They probably do want you to convert because that's what folks do.
Sure.
And
we
can get into that a little bit too. I've got a couple of articles here having to do with some of the contradictions within the Muslim faith, within their holy writings, holy to them writings, that are there. Mm-hmm. And when you get some of the folks taking these things to the extreme and take them seriously, then we've got a problem. We right now have members of Congress who are giving re-election speeches and other speeches in languages other than English, including Mamdani.
Mm-hmm.
He did one of those, a couple of those, and one of the others of the gang in Congress there said that her first duty was to her Somali folks and not necessarily to the rest of the folks that she represents in Congress from Minnesota. So we've got some strange things going on.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, I love Missionary Radio. My favorites are The Front Porch and Dr. Cook. My radio stays on this station in my car and home. Thank you, and God bless you all. From an online listener, may Jesus bless you all and continue to guide you every step. From Clarksville, you all do a good job. And from Elkton, thank you for what you do.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Sharing the gospel worldwide with TWR, Missionary Radio.
We are messengers with power here on Missionary Radio, your Christian community station. Of course, this is The Front Porch, and I'd like to remind you that we have podcasts available of The Front Porch by going to our website, missionary.radio. Go up in the top right-hand corner, click on podcast. You'll have two options. You'll have The Front Porch and Ministry Spotlight. You can check either one of those out. Go back and listen to past broadcasts of those. You can also go on Spotify, Amazon Podcast, and Apple Podcast as well.
Okay, if you say so.
I say so.
It's awfully complicated. Okay, this I want to talk. We had 42 elections this past cycle, past few days,
okay,
in which Muslims won seats in various positions,
yes,
throughout the country. That is one of the ways that Islam takes over a country.
Yes.
In Great Britain right now, most of the major cities have Muslim mayors.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that. The next thing you know is you have special treatment for Muslims, areas for Sharia law, and you have the Muslim police and the regular police and
yes.
such as this.
Yep.
Before, at one time, the Mediterranean basin, especially the North African part, was all Christian.
Yeah.
And it was taken over by the sword and forcibly converted into Muslim territory. So this is an article written by Dr. Anish Shorosh, who is a former Muslim who turned to Christ, and this was published by a fellow who also was a one-time practicing Muslim with Arabs. And he talks about the subtlety and the compatibility of the American positions and what Islam and the Quran and the Hadith actually say.
Mm-hmm.
Can a devout Muslim be an American patriot and a loyal citizen? Theologically, he says, no, because his ultimate allegiance is to Allah, the moon god of Arabia. Well, now, there's a difference between saying, you know, we're told in Scripture that we are citizens of two worlds, citizens of heaven, an ultimate loyalty to God, but are also citizens of whatever country we're a citizen of, unless you're in Great Britain, in which case you're a subject and not a citizen, and there's a big mm-hmm. difference there that we won't get into today because I don't want to.
There you go.
But there is a difference. But it gets, you know, when Al Brown, I believe it was running for the nomination to the presidency, he was not selected. I believe it was the Democrat Party, but I'm not really sure at the moment, because he was Roman Catholic, and they say, well, his loyalty is going to be to the Pope and not to the Constitution. Same thing came up when John F. Kennedy ran, but he was able to, you know, clarify that one, that the citizen of two worlds did not mean what other people said it meant. But theologically, there's an allegiance to Allah and to the Quran that supersedes anything else. Scripturally, he says no, because of the allegiance to the five pillars of Islam and the Quran. Geographically, because his allegiance is to Mecca, he gets turns and prays to it five times a day. And now we've got citizens like Dearborn, Michigan, and others, mm-hmm. where the Muslim call to prayer is blasted out at high-powered speakers five times a day. You know, can you imagine, you know, we hear bells, churches ring their bells, you know.
Sure, sure.
For church services and such as that. Or if they have an evening service every day, they'll ring the bells. Somehow, you know, ringing church bells never seems to bother folks very much acoustically.
Mm-mm.
And there are folks maybe theologically may not like it, but, you know, it's only going to be over just a few minutes. But there's a big difference between that and the call to prayer blasted out.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that if they were just not trying to make a point, I mean, point of superiority and of in essence concept, conquest, you could put it on a podcast or on a simulcast it or stream it on your phone or an app
sure.
or something of that nature. So that it goes off in your pocket, sort of like my annoying phone was trying kept blinking
yeah.
over there when we were
yeah.
trying to get coherent here. So there wouldn't be a way around it, but when you're trying to conquer and show your superiority, that you just blast it out.
Mm-hmm.
Socially, allegiance to Islam demands making no friends with Christians and Jews. That's in Surah 5-41. They're told not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Politically, no. They have to submit to the mullah who teaches the annihilation of Israel and destruction of America, the great Satan. Now, do most of your Muslim folks and friends and people you work with feel that way? Not ultimately, but this is where their ultimate allegiance is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's see. Domestically, he is instructed to marry up to four women and to beat and scourge his wife if she disobeys him. That's in Surah 4-34. Religiously, no other religion is accepted by Allah except Islam, so that is intolerant. If you do not submit and convert to Islam in your areas where they control, then you have two options. One is to become a dhimmi, D-H-I-M-M-I, when you transliterate it,
mm-hmm.
which is a second to third class citizen. Mm-hmm. And a lot goes on with that. Can't hold office, can't do a lot of things, you know, step off the sidewalk when a Muslim comes by, such as this. And the other option, of course, is death.
Yeah.
And in many countries right now, Islamic countries, if you convert to anything other than Islam, then you're It's a capital offense. They can kill you. Intellectually, well, he cannot accept the American Constitution because that's on biblical principles, and he believes the Bible to be corrupt. He respects it, and he considers it to be, and is taught that it is corrupt. Philosophically, well, Islam, Muhammad, and the Quran do not allow freedom of religion and expression. Democracy and Islam cannot coexist. Every Muslim government is dictatorial or autocratic, with the exception of Turkey right now. And they're, you know, in the process of getting that way. And this is interesting because Islam means submission. Mm-hmm. And so we've gone into some places and tried to establish a representative government, elected government, and it hasn't worked out well because the culture of Islam is a culture of submission to authority.
Mm-hmm.
It is a top-down type government system, and that is what they're used to. And to come up and say, no, you should do this from the bottom up, then that is in defiance of their whole religious upbringing.
Sure.
Philosophically, we mentioned that. Spiritually, we declare one nation under God, that Christian God is a triune God. The Muslim one in it is called Allah, never a heavenly father, nor is ever called love in the 99 excellent names that they have for Allah. And that is an article written by Dr. Anish Sharosh, who is a former Muslim who turned to Christ. So that's just something of what we can be dealing with and be aware of, that there are areas in the instructions in the Quran and Hadith and the others that you're told it's okay to lie.
Yeah.
You can lie to your enemies. So we have, President Trump goes out and he's dealing with these leaders.
Yeah.
And but one of the things that he has to keep in mind, and believe me, he knows what he's dealing with there, because he gets very carefully briefed on things.
Sure.
As any president does. But Russ, they can look at you and they can sign documents like the documents that Hamas allegedly signed with regard to the Gaza situation, and yet they have absolutely no intention whatsoever of keeping any part of that bargain they don't particularly want to do to it. Mm-hmm. As long as to their advantage, they'll keep it. Mm-hmm. When it ceases to be to their advantage, then they will do whatever they want to do because they are allowed and encouraged by their religious background, which is also their culture, to lie. And it's okay. It's okay with Allah if you lie to infidels. Wow. So, you have to be very careful in dealing with folks.
Mm-mm-mm.
And we run into the situation of Qatar, which has been listed as a supporter of terrorism, and yet now we're having other kind of dealings with them. And we've got this president of Syria coming in and being received at the White House, who is a terrorist himself, and that is his background. So, bottom line on this one is get ready to go to Johnny.
And that's right.
Is pray for our president and our negotiators, because they're having a lot of complex issues they have to deal with and be aware of and be prepared for contingencies.
That's right.
That may come up.
That's right.
Okay. Let's go to Johnny, get something nice and refreshing. Going to come back with James Montgomery Boyce for our devotional.
Welcome to Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope. I'm sure you can imagine how many people contact Johnny with questions about hope, help, and healing. Well, here's Johnny with her response to the question she gets asked most often.
And it's that question of healing that most people write me about. Just recently, a well-meaning Christian wrote and insisted that he had the words, he had the prayer, and dare I say, he had the power to heal me of my quadriplegia. He wrote to tell me that he had great faith, faith enough to believe Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 12, where the Lord says, quote, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Now, the way this Christian man saw it, Jesus did miraculous healings in his day, and he promised his followers that one day they would do even greater things than he did. And I believe that, Johnny, this man wrote. Now, this Christian guy, he might have good intentions, but I'm sorry, his theology is a mix of misplaced emotion and a short-sighted and actually an erroneous view of Scripture. When that man spoke of us doing greater things than Jesus, and he quoted John chapter 14, verse 12, he did not understand that Jesus is talking about something far greater than me getting up out of a wheelchair. Jesus is talking about something far grander than any healing of my spinal cord. What could be more wonderful than that? Well, consider this. Think of it. Jesus invested 3 solid years of sharing the gospel, and at the end of his life, even after all those miracles, he only had a handful of converts who kind of sort of believed in him in a half-hearted way. But once he went to the Father, then on Pentecost, thousands not only came to Christ, but paid their lives for it. These are the greater things that we do, greater than even Jesus did, all because our Lord went to the Father and released the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is much, much, much more concerned about opening the eyes of the spiritually blind than he is opening physical eyes. The Spirit of Jesus is much more concerned about our spiritual walk with him than whether or not our legs can physically walk. God is much more concerned about opening the ears of the spiritually deaf. And when in John chapter 14, our Lord promises that one day we will do greater things than he did when he was on earth, it is a powerful promise that you and I, his followers, will have far more success, as it were, when it comes to giving the gospel. And friend, I will tell you that walking with Christ is far more satisfying than those days when I was on my feet. At Johnny and Friends, our theology is focused more on helping people have a closer daily walk with Jesus Christ than a theology that insists God will physically heal those who can't walk. Now, you may have a question about that, a question about healing. And if so, I encourage you to ask us your questions, even if they're hard. Maybe you have prayed and yet your child's medical condition has not improved. Well, I believe there are answers, and sometimes they are miraculous. So please send in your questions to johnnyradio.org. In the meantime, keep giving the message that opens the eyes of the spiritually blind, that opens the ears of those who are deaf to God's word, and shows people how to walk every day with Jesus Christ. Send us your questions at johnnyradio.org, and we'll be happy to answer them straight from the heart and from the Word of God.
We at Johnny and Friends would love to pray for you and your troubles, so share your prayer needs with us today at johnnyradio.org. And as always, thanks for listening to Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Dr. H. A. Ironside, in his lectures on Acts, recalls a story his mother told about his own dear father's dying hour. The mother said, "Your father had this passage running through his mind. He kept repeating it constantly. A great sheet and wild beast, and he could not seem to get the next word, but went back and started over. Once more, he came to the same place. Our friend bent over and whispered, 'John, it says creeping things.' 'Oh, yes,' he said, 'that is how I got in. Just a poor, good-for-nothing, creeping thing, but I got in saved by grace.'" I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It taps me into what I need to hear for spiritual growth and keeps me on the right path and just feeds my soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Missionary Radio, in partnership with TWR.
All right, we've got James Montgomery Boyce's devotional book with us, the one we've been using called Come to the Waters, which was actually compiled by a guy named D. Marion Clark. This is, actually, I think Dr. Boyce had already passed away when they released this thing, but it's a lot of the meditations that he had written over the years. And we're going to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16, which Brian's going to read.
Okay. "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, 'When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men.' Now this, 'he ascended,' what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, and he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for edifying of itself in love.
There we go. It's dealing with spiritual gifts. The scripture highlighted was verse 7, which started it off with grace given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, for example, mm-hmm. earlier this morning, I was demonstrating the spiritual gift of semi-incoherence because when the brain goes running off as fast as it can go and the mouth is trying to catch up.
Yeah, that happens. You know,
and that happens occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about spiritually looking, seriously look right now. A lot of times when we talk about spiritual gifts, we go immediately to what are called the sign gifts. But
yeah.
It's bigger than that.
Yeah.
You know, whenever, however big we imagine God, he's bigger than that.
Yes.
And the concepts of his gifts to men to use in the furtherance of his kingdom is bigger than that. So Boyce asks, how can you discover what your gifts are? There are whole seminars and mm-hmm. things like this, Sunday school, Bible school lessons about that. Well, Boyce has said, first, study what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. Well, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
He continues, without a knowledge of what God's Word teaches in this area, we are easily led to desire experiences that are not his will for us, or to begin to think of spiritual gifts in secular terms. As we study the Bible's teachings, we must be careful to discern God's purpose in giving spiritual gifts. It's for the growth of the body and not merely personal growth or satisfaction. So it's not to get a pedestal to stand on.
Sure. Sure.
Number two, you must pray. Well, another refreshing thought.
Yeah.
Not a matter to be taken lightly, or one in which we may feel free to trust our own judgment. Not, Lord, I want to do this. I want to do this, so I'm praying you to equip me and guide me and protect me and sometimes profit me as I do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've already decided what I'm going to do, and you know that's not the kind of what he's talking about.
Yeah.
We may find ourselves, he goes on, wanting a gift that exalts our sense of self-importance. Well, we're humans. We do that. I mean, you know. But not something that God has in mind for us. We may find ourselves resisting the gift that he does have for us.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, we must lay the matter before the Lord in serious, soul-searching prayer and ask him as he speaks through his word to show us his gift for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes you'll find yourself in something that's not your favorite thing, but you are capable of doing it. It doesn't mean you're stuck with it, you know, forever and ever, but it may be just that God needs somebody there right now to hold the fort until the
sure.
right person acknowledges their gift to come in and mm-hmm. continue with it. So sometimes you do get in a temporary position and you get
right.
Almost like a temporary gift for it.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, ouch. Make a sober assessment of your spiritual strength and abilities. If we do not do this, on the base of careful study of the Word of God and through prayer, we will be misled.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to get caught up in emotion. We must have somebody to do the children's ministry, and I've got a good friend of mine, and he did that, and he hated every minute of it, and the kids weren't too pleased either. I mean, it didn't do any damage, long-term damage,
but it
showed him one thing. This is not my calling. I am to teach adults, not children.
That's it.
But he did it for the time because, you can fill in when you have to.
That's right.
We have to first seek the wisdom and mind of God. Then we can go back and look at ourselves through spiritual eyes. We can ask, here's one, what do I like to do? Now, this is not a sure guide to what our gifts are, but it is one indication, since God's leading is always toward that for which he has prepared us and which we therefore naturally find enjoyable and satisfying. And in connection with that, sometimes you find yourself in a position you don't like.
Sure.
I talked about my, young man I knew that he left a position because of, basically they hired somebody straight out of college
mm-hmm.
and were paying him more than this young man who'd been working for the company for 7 years. Same position.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of a hint. So while he was searching for something in his field, he was striping parking lots.
Yeah.
He would work somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that happens in the spiritual realm, too.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you get put into something that you are, it's not your primary calling, but it's something you can do that needs to be done for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue is folks look and say, oh, that's Brother so-and-so's or Sister so-and-so's mission.
Yeah.
No, they're you know, holding the fort, treading water,
sure.
while you decide to,
sure.
I may need to be doing that.
Sure.
So sometimes we do get put in temporary positions, but you look back on some of these situations, maybe some of these thought were a terrible thing.
Yeah.
You know, you lost a job, the business shut down, had to move.
Yeah.
And you look back maybe sometime years later and say, well, God needed me away from that so I would be free to do this.
Yeah.
He was training me up. He had me work for this terrible boss so I could learn how not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And better ways to do things. So sometimes he puts us in situations that are not to our liking in order to train us for what he has further down the line.
Yep.
But you do ask, what do I like to do? Another question, what am I good at? If you're asking to fulfill a certain ministry in the church but are constantly failing and feel frustrated, it is likely you're working in the wrong area. Just like we talked about the fellow that ended up with children's ministry until they could find the right person. And it may mean you've assessed your gifts wrongly. If you're seeing spiritual fruit from your efforts, you're probably on the right track. That's another thing. We had a former youth minister, and he would tell his youth, says, if you think you're interested in something, it might be what you want to do, try it out.
Try it out.
You know, you're a teenager. This is the time to explore things, not good things. Don't misinterpret that statement, please. But, you know, clown ministry, maybe you'd be interested. You find that, nope, not that.
Yeah.
But you try it out, and you learn something.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you learn is not for me. The other thing you learn is that the purpose. Okay, what are you good at? That's a help. And finally, and this is another good one, seek the wisdom of other Christians where your gifts are concerned. When the church functions properly, he says, one of the things that should happen, others with a gift of insight or wisdom should be able to sense what your gifts are and point them out in terms of the needs of a particular congregation. Others are almost always more objective about ourselves than we are. Oh, yeah. Surely, I don't have that fault. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, confrontation time. We must cultivate the ability to listen to these other members of the family of God, to follow their guidance as far as we are able. And that's because you're getting guidance doesn't mean it's always right, but it's always worth listening to.
Sure, that's right.
Because even if it's not something you want to hear, say, well, is there a reason for this? Do they see something in me?
Mm-hmm.
That either I need to cultivate or I need to strangle.
Yep.
Listen to them. If others tell us about our gifts, we're at least freed from presuming that we have them if we don't have them. Sometimes they have to tell somebody, I know you're doing this because you feel like, you know, your folks have always done it or so-and-so has always done it,
yeah.
but you're not really very good at it. Somebody else needs to, you need to be doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need something that brutal. Can be phrased a little better. Says, have you tried such and such? I think you might be good at that.
Yeah.
Listen to them. Because other folks in the family of God will have your best interest at heart.
Yes.
Because as we function together, as we fill in the slots that we're called for and trained for and that God's prepared us for, then that frees up other people to go where they need to be. And it's all done for the glory of God and for the furtherance of the kingdom of Christ. Appreciate you staying with us this morning.
Yes.
Stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in if you can.
Yeah.
It is Veterans Day. If you see a veteran wearing a T-shirt or a cap or something like that, say thank you.
Yes, please do that.
And Lord willing, be back in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
God bless.
All right. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on your Christian Community Station. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.